Hi everyone, welcome to the Las Musas podcast. My name is Cynthia Harmony and I'm the author of Mi Ciudad Sings that will come out in summer next year. Today I'm joined by Ana Siqueira, Gloria Amezcua, and Hilda Burgos. This is the debut diaries of Picture Book Edition. Ana, can you start us off by introducing yourself and telling us a little bit about your book?
Hi, my name is Ana Siqueira. My book coming in July 13, 2021 is called Bella's Recipe for Success. And it is about Bella, and she doesn't think she's good at anything. She quits at everything. She barely tries because she's a disaster. Her somersaults are like giraffes rolling downhill, her piano playing like elephant feet. When she decides to learn how to bake with her abuela, her first attempt at dulce de leche frosting looks like cocodrilo skin. She must learn it's okay to try again or she won't be good at anything. My other books that I have coming out, I forgot the name of my own book, If Your Babysitter is a Bruja, in 2022, and I have another one coming in 2023 that I hope I can announce soon. Gloria, can you tell us about yourself and your book?
Yes. Hi, everyone. I'm so glad you could join us. My picture book is Child of the Flower Song People, Luz Jimenez, Daughter of the Nahua. It's a biography about Luz Jimenez, who was an intelligent and curious little girl who wanted more than anything to be a teacher. And though the Mexican Revolution drastically changed her life, she became a very important link between the indigenous people of Mexico and the rest of the world. She was a Nahua who came to represent the native people through the art of some famous 20th century artists and also the Nahuatl language that she helped preserve, becoming a teacher after all. Oh, and then the Duncan Tonatiuh is the illustrator. It's from Abrams Book and comes out in August 2021. And Hilda, will you introduce yourself, please?
Hi, everybody. Yes, my name is Hilda Eunice Burgos, and I am the author of two middle grade novels. Ana Maria Reyes Does Not Live in a Castle, which was published in October of 2018 by Lee & Low Books. And I have another one coming out in October, but my debut picture book, The Cot in the Living Room, was just released on June 1st. It was illustrated by Gabby D'Alessandro, and the publisher is Coquila Books, which is an imprint of Penguin Random House. And the description of the book is this. Night after night, a young girl watches her mommy set up a cot in the living room for guests in their Washington Heights apartment, like Raquel, who's boring, and Edgardo, who gets crumbs everywhere. She resents that they get the entire living room with a view of the George Washington Bridge, while all she gets is a tiny bedroom with a view of her sister, who snores. Until one night when no one comes and it's finally her chance. But as it turns out, sleeping on the cot in the living room isn't all she thought it would be. The cot in the living room is a celebration of the ways a Dominican American community takes care of one another while showing young readers that sometimes the best way to be a better neighbor is by imagining how it feels to spend a night sleeping on someone else's pillow. So I'll send it back to you, Cynthia.
Yes, and then just real quick about my book is called Mi Ciudad Sings, and it's published by Penguin Workshop. The illustrator is Teresa Martinez, and it's the story based on a real event, the earthquake that hit Mexico City in 2017. Although it's a fiction story, it's based on what really happened and the community kept coming together and help rebuild the city. So it's a story of hope, of kindness, and coming together. And now this particular episode, we're gonna be chatting about debut groups and writer friends. So here's our first question. So Ana, can you tell us about some special writer friends and why they are special to you?
Okay, well, before I talk to my friends, I forgot to tell the illustrator of my book, Geraldine Rodriguez, and it's the publisher is Bimi Books. Okay, so my writer friends, oh, I have so many writer friends. I'm in so many critique groups, and each person helps me in such a special way. It's hard to say everybody, but I'm going to focus on my first critique group, and it's called Las Chicas Latinas. I created a group, and I started getting people from communities that I know, like the 12 by 12, or I wasn't the storyteller, or other groups that I was into. So I started inviting them to be in my group, and they were so patient with me because I was just studying and I was writing 100 stories per month, 200 revisions, and I kept sending them more and more stories. So I have to be super thankful to them. But the special, I'm going to say a special thank you to all the members. Donna Higuera, she is amazing, telling us where to cut and leave for an illustrator's note. Sarah Fajardo, she is so lyrical. She can help with everything lyrical, word choice, making your manuscript really shine. Rachel Funes, she's really good with humor. So every time I need something with humor, I'll send to her. Maria Antonia, she's really good with the structure, and she is always available. Anytime I need her, she's available for me. Aisha Perez, she's really good with the logic, if something's wrong, and the word choice. And everybody else from all my other critique groups. I have a critique group that we have weekly critiques. They help me keep accountable. I have to keep writing. I have a group that is more like for heavy topics. And I have groups that meet once a month virtually, but hopefully soon we're going to be able to meet in person. But I want to say thank you to so many people, and Las Musas, and I don't know, so many people. So if I didn't include you, and of course, thank you to all of you that are here with me today, because you helped me with that. Just know that I'm thankful for you, you know, and you're very special. And it really takes a village to write a book. It's really so much help from everybody. You cannot write by yourself. So Gloria, what about your writer friends?
The same thing. I have so many people that have been part of this journey. It's really, yeah, there's so many people that are so close and that have helped me that I've decided to focus in on two long-term writer friends. I have to mention Angela Villarreal Ratliff and Lydia Armendariz. I was in a poetry group that Angela started back in 1996, Latinx focus, and that group met regularly. It got fairly large here in Austin, and then because of some of her family circumstances, it got smaller. And then there were three of us basically that kept going. Both when it was larger and group and smaller, we did readings, we did critiques, we did, and then we created workshops, then particularly when we were a smaller group, and just created chat books and so on. This was all with poetry, but it kept me writing, it helped me hone my skills. I made lifelong friends. And so they're very important to me. And then they continue to meet on the phone, but I have, because I'm focusing on children's books, they gave me feedback kind of in the beginning, but so I've had to kind of rely on more specific from people who are writing children's literature, but they're still very close to me and support me thoroughly. And also Rebecca Manley, that I felt met through the Writing Barn where I was taking some courses. We've been accountability partners now for about 3, maybe 4 years. And we started out pretty regularly every week with our to-dos and our ta-das, like what we accomplished, ta-da, and what we need to do, our to-dos. And but now that we both have books that are being published and hers is already out, We're doing it whenever we can. We just, you know, have so much going on, but we still do it. And it's really important because it helps me to know there's someone that I'm accountable to say, this is what I've done and this is what I want to do. And, you know, like you said, the critique groups too. I'm in one critique group, I've been in others, but this one is pretty long lasting too. It's been at least 2, if not 3 years, although the members kind of fluctuate. And I'm not going to mention the names because I'll probably leave someone out. So I don't want to do that. But they've been incredibly helpful and supportive. So, yeah, it takes a village, like you said. And Hilda?
Yes, I agree. It definitely does take a village. And that's one of the things that really kind of surprised me. I think when I first started on my writing journey, I was just writing by myself in my house, you know, after work and on the weekends. And then I wasn't really thinking that this was something that went beyond just me. And then, you know, I took this writing workshop. The instructor is named Joyce Magnan, and she was really great. And, you know, she sort of, you know, put me in touch with other people. And then it just felt like it kind of snowballed in a positive way from there. I joined a critique group about 6 years ago, and we're still together. There's 6 of us and we're still together, and it's really great. You know, like Gloria said about, you know, accountability, just we have a schedule. We don't always stick to it, but we have the schedule where each person submits something on a set date, and then everybody else critiques and provides comments. And just knowing that you have this date by which you have promised to submit something is very helpful, to have some sort of accountability. Even if obviously this past year, some of us have not felt much like writing, and you know, we're all understanding, and we're more than just critique partners, we're also friends. So that has been really great. And it's just been, yeah, I don't know if I should mention, I guess I could mention their names. The people in my critique group are Laura Parnum, Nicole Valentine, Nicole Wolverton, Amy Sisson, and Susan North. Yeah, that's everybody. And but there've also been, obviously there's all Las Musas who have just been really wonderful, and meeting them completely opened my world in terms of writing experience. And I also joined a picture book critique group for a while, but then it was a little bit far from my house, so I ended up dropping out of that one. But that one, I also got a lot of very valuable lessons from that group. And I also, in addition to, even if I don't stick with all these critique groups, I continue to have these friendships and these connections with these other writers. And I really appreciate all of them. And it's been very eye-opening, because like I've always been, you know, kind of an introverted person. And one of the things that I thought was appealing about writing was that it was something I could do without having to talk to people. and yet I've been talking to a lot of people, and it's really great. And, you know, especially working on a picture book, because the picture book is very different from my middle grade books. Those are a little bit more for an introvert. You know, with the picture book, you're working with the illustrator, and it's so collaborative. And it's really rewarding too, to see how these words that you put down become so much more when the illustrator gets a hold of them and starts adding so much more with the pictures. And, you know, and I actually just met my illustrator for the first time yesterday, my illustrator of The Cot in the Living Room. We met virtually because we had an event, a book event, and that was really cool. You know, it was really fun. Gabby D'Alessandro is her name. So anyway, I guess that's all I'll say for now. But Cynthia?
Yes, just like all of you have said, Anna, Gloria, and Hilda. Yes, it's the critique partners are really so important. They have been for me, like especially the first groups. I feel very grateful because I just like it was just learning the craft, and I just like sent these terrible drafts, and they just came back with like this positive feedback, and then it was just growing together. So I just feel really grateful for all that process. And like Hilda was saying, I'm not active in all of those groups anymore because I've moved on, yeah, to different age groups and stuff. But we're still in touch. We're friends, and I have this very special connection. I have not met them in person, so I'm also excited about the day that we actually get to meet. That's going to be very special. Another group that I like, Anna was saying, I also like had this need to just have this particular group for more diverse writers, I guess. So I just had this call in 12x12, and then some people answered, and we created this group for a while. And it's also super special to meet Anita and Sara Fajardo and a few others. And then we shared a lot of friends in common, which I'm finding out, which is also very special. And we've also created these writer groups, which are not necessarily critique groups, but we just have these same goals, supporting other writers. And it's kind of like Las Musas, which is why I love it so much. And I'm so excited to be a part of now, because it's just about giving back to the community as well and building your community and more friendships as you go along. And that's very special for me too. So we'll just go on to talk a little bit more about specifically debut groups. So I know also Anna's super active in this, with this part. So Anna, can you tell us about your debut groups and how does that help you or your career?
Okay, well, as usual, I'm always in a lot of critique groups, a lot of diverse groups. So I'm in four debut groups. Well, Las Musas, of course, we are all in Las Musas, and it's fantastic. You have so many opportunities to communicate. Sometimes like that Slack drives me a little nuts, that Slack notification. But I love that you always can see opportunities, people asking questions, or you can ask questions. So it's a big help. And all the things that they do, like the podcast, the blogs. Now it's going to have the festival in December. So you have a lot of opportunity to create a very nice community, and also to get social media exposure and things like that will help you with your sales. Then I'm in another group called the Diverse Dreamers, and it's all diverse writers from many different cultures and countries. And Story Jammers is a group created by people who took classes in the Writing Barn, and I did took some classes there. And the group that I'm most active on is the 21 for the Books, and is like, of course, 20, most of them are 2021 debuts. Some had like their books postponed to 2022. So I'm very active. They do a lot of things together. Sometimes we meet on Zoom. We try to get to tell each other about conference panels. We propose panels together. We do a lot of activities on social media too. So it's very important. I think it's not only important because you're going to have a chance to help each other with reviews and social media exposure, but it's also a community. So, we critique each other's manuscript, or we have questions about our agents or things like that. We have a Facebook page and we ask each other questions all the time. So it's a great way to communicate and to have a community behind you to help you, because the marketing can be very overwhelming. So if you at least have a group and you know that they will back you up and help you, you feel a little relieved that you have that backup for you. What about you, Gloria?
Well, I can imagine you belong in the four debut groups, because I belong to two and it's overwhelming. I mean, I just Las Musas alone has so much going on with podcasts, the blogs, the newsletter, the, promoting everybody's work and so on. And part of my issues are, because I don't know the technology. I've had to learn so much, but I feel it's extremely helpful. I can't imagine trying to do a debut book or any book without having a group that is helping you, supporting you. You know, like you said, you ask questions and so on. I'm in another picture book. It's called Picture Book Troop 21 and PB Troop 21. And it's a smaller group, but they're also doing a lot of things, doing reviews for each other and all over the place, and you know, promoting and so on, like Osmosis does. But I feel like I haven't been able to keep up with all the things that I want to do to help support other people. So I feel kind of bad about that, that I'm doing what I can, you know. But it's really good that you have all the people that, you know, that you've met through this, and everybody's so supportive. Everybody's willing to help you if you don't know what to do or to answer questions, like you said. And yeah, having a debut group is absolutely essential, I think. I mean, I just didn't think I could do this without it. So very happy to be part of two debut groups. And Ilda, how about you?
Yes, I'm also part of two debut groups. I joined Las Musas back when my first middle grade book came out in 2018. And it was really eye-opening because I didn't know anything about marketing, about books, and a lot of the social media stuff. You know, right now I've been focusing on running our Twitter chat, which we do for Las Musas. And that first year we did these Twitter chats and I didn't even know what Twitter was. And I had to, you know, learn. And, you know, Las Musas has just been really fabulous because there's so much and there's so many people, and it's not just a 1 year debut group. It's an ongoing group. And therefore there's something for everybody. And on the one hand, there's a lot. And so, you know, you feel a little guilty that you can't do everything. But on the other hand, it's sort of good that there's something for everybody. You know, like if you're into the Instagram live stuff, you can do that. If you're into the podcast, like we're doing, or if you're into the Twitter, you know, everybody can pick their own thing. And that's really great. And I'm also in a picture book debut group for 21, although I think some people have now been pushed into 22. And that's been really great because there've been some new people that I didn't know before that are a part of that group. Mostly what we do is write reciprocal reviews for each other. And some people, I do feel a little bit guilty, like you said, Gloria, you know, I feel a little bit guilty because I feel like I don't do that much for that group. And it's mostly just a couple people who are really sort of carrying it. And, you know, and I just keep feeling like, oh, I should do something else, but I also am not really sure what to do. So that's one of the things about debut groups that's sort of interesting, is that sometimes I think, is this sort of like the blind leading the blind? Because who knows stuff? But then I'm always surprised that there are some people that really know a lot, even though it's their debut year, and they're very impressive. So it's all really great anyway. You know, it's great to meet these new writers and to read their books and to see how much is out there. And, you know, so yes, I definitely, if anybody's wondering about debut groups, I would definitely recommend them. And what about you, Cynthia?
Absolutely, I agree. And just like you, Hilda, I am, and Gloria, I'm in two groups. One is Las Musas, which I consider more than a debut group. It's just like community and support. And I would love to be, I'm a debut musa right now, but I would love to continue into different kind of roles later on in the future. But yeah, I absolutely love that. And then one particularly for picture books. So that's called PB Crew 22. And we just came together just recently, a few months ago, and then launched it. And like Hilda was saying, it's kind of like, scary at times. You don't know exactly what you're doing, but that's, I think, the part of being a team and bringing each one brings a little bit of this knowledge and this skill and this is where I learned over here. And then we just share that, and that's less overwhelming as you go along. So I'm finding that it's a really positive experience. And a part of what I really enjoy about that group is that it's writer friends. So that's what we were talking about. Like, that's how we just came together, because I had an agent before, which is different from my agent right now. And then those agent sisters. So we just became friends, and now we just got together with the other writer friends from, for example, Latinx Speech and other groups that I'm part of. And then we just have books coming out in 2022. And then we just decided we already like each other. We like our work, and it makes sense to support and promote each other. And a few other writers and creators, illustrators as well, that are not debut. So they already had, this is like a new release for 2022. I like that part that they can bring in this other knowledge from what they had before with other books, and I find that really, really positive. So that I would also recommend that, and maybe that would be also my suggestion. Like, find more like a promo group than just like a debut group, something that where you can share that knowledge, and it's definitely less.
Cynthia, I kind of agree with you on the. To the people that kind of started the picture book troop 21 group, they know so much, and I'm like, oh, how do they know all this? But they do, and thank goodness, because the rest of us are kind of new. Although some people have like their picture book debut, but they've already published a novel, like Ilda and so on. So I think, oh, they already know how to do some of that, because I keep thinking, how do they know how to do all this? And that's kind of makes me think, okay, well, their picture book debuted, but they've done something else, or they, you know, whatever. And I'm in such a steep learning curve about all this. I mean, I still don't know really how to use Slack or, you know, all the different things that we do. It's just, I'm kind of overwhelmed, but I'm trying to keep up.
Exactly. Yeah. So Gloria already kind of answered our next question, which is which aspects are overwhelming for us. And that's exactly it. I agree. All the different platforms, it's just so hard to manage. How about you, Anna?
Yes, it can be overwhelming is like that feeling guilty. You feel, oh my gosh, I should be doing more. I do agree with everybody. Like in my group 21 for the books, at first I was doing a lot of things and do Google Docs. And Cynthia knows that I love Google Docs. And I was doing all that stuff. And then, you know, you get so busy with other things. I had some health problems with my son, most people know. So a lot of things that I got that I felt like, oh my gosh, now I cannot help them as much. But you know, the good thing is that, as I said, everybody helps a little, but it ends up being a lot. Of course, some people help a lot. Some people were like doing most of the work. I was like that on 21 for the books at the beginning. And then I got in four groups. Las Musas, what I like about Las Musas, you have your role. You know what is your role, my role. I have two basically, the podcast and the blogs. But you know what you have to do, so you don't worry too much. What I like is like that you have that structure, you know that's what you're going to be doing. Don't have to worry about the rest. Sometimes they ask volunteers, and if you can, great. But the other groups, I feel a little guilty too, that I cannot do as much as the other ones. I'm good with social media, like reaching people, but I'm not good with graphics or doing Canvas or all of that stuff. So, you know, sometimes you feel guilty. I think like that can be overwhelming. And sometimes you feel like, okay, I have to do something for the groups, but you really have to also write and do all your family stuff and take care of the house. So it can be overwhelming, but it is a big help, yeah. Right? So
well, I feel like that, Anna, too, about like where I'm promoting my book. I'm trying to do the social media. I'm trying to do, you know, promote other people and support them and so on. And then you have when am I writing? Because it's taken a back seat. It really has. It's just like, okay, I can only do so much. And, you know, you've got to take care of family and friends and be, you know, there for other people that in your life. And yeah, and then as I said, like the technology, well, it takes me so long to do something because I usually have to Google how to do it. Like, okay, how do I do this? And like, I need to contact Hilda more because the Twitter chats, I don't really know how to do those. And so I did one long time ago with the other group, but I've forgotten how to do it. And so it's like, and I don't have time to try to, you know, Google it and try to figure out how to be
well,
part of that.
Well, Gloria, I can say, if I can do it, you can do it.
Okay.
So, the technology is really hard. And then having a full-time job doesn't help either. That makes, you know, it's just time. Basically, what's overwhelming is time. Finding the time to do anything really is just, that's the most difficult thing of all. And, you know, and I do feel a little guilty when, you know, they ask for volunteers to do something and I just, I'm not able to, I have to be at work or I have to, you know, take my dad to the doctor or I have to, you know, like they're just things that you have to do. And, you know, but I think we can only do whatever we can do. Right.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. I have that time managing problem as well. It's just it's getting to be a little overwhelming. All these groups that at some point I just said, yes, I volunteer for these. And then I was just like, oh, and then your life and the kids. And it's just getting to, and then yes, learning the, for example, Slack for me is pretty new. I still like trying to figure it out. And is you have all these ideas, but it's the time to you know, for all these groups, it is hard, definitely. And then the writing, which is our the most important part for us, it's really hard. So Anna was talking about your DB groups, and you have or had a few of them. And this is like the question is if you think that is useful or is that too much? Like if you have more than one.
Yes, I think like being in two, Las Musas and 21 for the books, that would be perfect. The other one, of course, is always useful. They are great. All the writers in both groups are excellent writers and they will review. I like what are the story jammers, what they do. You don't review everybody's book. They have like a rotation. So when a book comes out, a certain group will review that book and then another book. So you have less like review everybody. I'm trying to catch up with all the 21 for the books because I think we are, I don't know how many people we are. We are a huge group. I don't know if we are 20, 30, but we have a lot of people. And there are always books coming out, review. So that can be overwhelming if you are in four groups because then you have to be reviewing, you know, but it's so nice to be able to give back like that because really so far all the books that I read, I'm so impressed with all the books. So I'm happy to do the reviews. It can be overwhelming if you were in four groups. So I think like maybe being in two groups would be a good solution like you or most of you are now. Las Musas is not really a debut group. It's a community group, right? I believe. But being in four can be a little overwhelming, especially because you end up feeling guilty because you cannot help four groups as much. So that is my take.
Yes, I agree with that. I think that my two groups, well, Las Musas plus my one debut are sort of a good number. And so I think that works out well for me at least.
I'm kind of feeling like one would work. Mainly because I am not doing justice to, I guess, particularly the smaller group that I'm in. And because I haven't done any reviews, I just, I mean, I've read some of them, I've bought some of them, but I haven't done any reviews and I really need to. And there's always something else that needs to, you know, be happening with not just my own book, but with Las Musas and stuff. And so I guess it's because I feel guilty that I'm not doing as much.
Yeah, I feel guilty too. I think that's why I would be too. I think I would be able to help both groups. Now being in four, I feel like I'm helping mostly two groups. And that's why, so it's not bad. It's pretty, still pretty amazing to have them review your books, you know, retweet your tweets and support you, but you feel guilty. That's the main problem.
Maybe that's just part of it. We're gonna feel guilty because we can't do it all. I can't even do, you know, what I think is a minimum, but I do stuff, but it from both groups, but I guess it's the perfectionist in me that wants to be, you know, doing it right for everybody. And that's kind of part of it. But it's really important to be part of it, of these groups. And they've been so supportive and so good, you know, and I've learned a lot.
Yes.
Yes, and then I agree. It's hard, but it's also kind of like the way to go, because if it's already overwhelming just doing everything by yourself, you have to be part of something. Yeah. So like, and then this is interesting. Is there something in your debut group that you're doing different and you think everybody else should be doing? Is this something that you would recommend that your group has been doing? For example,
Yes, I like, well, our group, everybody's supposed to review everybody. And it can get a little overwhelming, but I think in the 21 for the books. The story jammers, they have that, as I said, a rotation. So it depends on the person. If you really feel like you don't have the time, it is good that rotation, so you don't feel so overwhelming having to do so many reviews. But I kind of like being able to do everybody's review, and then everybody's going to review me. So it's kind of, you know, you pay back to the community and they pay back to you. So I think it's a good idea. What I like about the 21 for the books, we are very, not all the members, but maybe we have a group of 10 that we are so connected that we are always trying to find things to do together. So I like that, the panels or conference. So if I know a conference, I'll say, oh, there is a conference, and that we have this Facebook page. So that is something that I also like, having like a page, not only by email. And I don't like Slack. Sorry, Las Musas. I know you love Slack, but I don't. So we have that Facebook page, and then, you know, we are always connecting through there. And we try to do a lot of conference and panels and things together. I think that's super good, because not only you support each other, but you became friends. You really become friends with all of these writers. And I feel like I kind of know them, even though I haven't seen them. Some I saw like on Zoom, some I haven't even seen on Zoom, but now we are really working together to do visit schools together, you know, and many things together. What about your group, Claudia?
Well, I think the most important thing is the relationships that you're building with people, all, you know, from all over, both in Las Musas and in the PB Troop 21. We even have a person from Canada in our group, and that smaller group. And we are, I think that's the most important thing. And definitely being able to learn from each other about these different social media outlets that I really wasn't aware of, most of them, and how to do them and how to, you know, help get out the word about our book. So it's just that support, and everybody's so willing to help you and to answer your questions. And so it's the relationships that I think are the most important thing that the groups do for each other, as well as, you know, the social media aspects that that we do for each other. And Hilda, how about you?
Oh yeah, I agree with everything both of you have said. With my debut group, we're doing reciprocal reviews, which I think are very helpful. And my group is not that big. I think there are only about 15 of us. And so it's only picture books. So it's not that difficult to read 15 picture books and write reviews about them. And yet I think it is a way to help one another, which I like, in terms of Las Musas. And even with that group, I think, you know, we have a Slack also for that group. And I know not everybody likes Slack, but the thing that I like about Slack is that everything is in one place. And, you know, one thing that some of the people from that debut group, as well as Las Musas, do is that if they find out about any opportunities, they post it there. Like my book just came out on June 1st, and it was featured in a blog in addition to the Las Musas blog. And that other blog was one that I found out about through my debut group. And so, you know, people do, when they hear about things, they just post about it on Slack, and then you can take advantage of it. And that's very helpful. And one thing that I didn't know anything about when I first joined Las Musas back in 2018 was about pitching for events. And a lot of, you know, sometimes I ended up, well, that was back when everything was live. And I would, you know, somebody would post something for Las Musas saying, I'm going to pitch a panel for this conference, you know, in this place at this time. Does anybody want to join me? And I would just raise my hand and say, sure, I'll join you. And so I spoke on a bunch of panels about my new book then. And it was really helpful because I would have never known to do that on my own. And, you know, now I have more experience in that area. And that's been very helpful. And I do think that that's one thing that groups can do together that's very helpful. What about you, Cynthia?
Yes, I agree with all of what you've said, like Gloria, about the part of connection. I find that that's the most enjoyable part of being part of these groups. Whenever we meet through Zoom or something, just like putting a face to the name and being able just to chat, even if it's just a few minutes, and being in touch with Slack. Yes, it's hard, but Anna, I just have to say, I'm sorry, I don't like Facebook, so I prefer these other chat opportunities to chat in other platforms. So yes, I enjoy that part. And the part about, yes, it brings us these opportunities. I like that what Hilda was saying about sharing these opportunities with our group for panels or events or conferences. And then something that our group hasn't done yet, but we're planning to do, that I think might be a little different, is we're trying to also give back. We're trying to have a link with nonprofits that will give books, donate books to certain schools that are more in need, or certain libraries. And that's, we're trying to, it's like more like a marketing with value, something that we could just feel like this is the ultimate goal anyways, to have our books reach readers. And this is kind of a way for us, it was an idea that we wanna be able to do. So that we're still planning and reaching out to a few places to, so that we can do that. And I think Las Musas has done that as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes. That's a nice idea. Yeah.
And then this last question, which I think it's really interesting, because we all have this problem when we want to get all of the books, because we want to get all the books, and especially our writer friends, like they come up with these new books, we want to get them, we want to buy them all, but we can't possibly, especially when we're part of all these big groups. So what do we do when we can't get all these books?
That's a problem I'm having. I'm trying to buy all the books from the debut group on the 21 for the books, because I see that most of them buy your books, but it's tough. I'm trying to buy slowly, one book a month. And then I have other friends that I want to buy books. So I really want to yield this book. I think it's probably beautiful. It came out already. The solution for me is the library, right? So some of the books, of course, like the 21 for the books, we have everybody's ARC and we can read them, but I want to support them too, right? And get their books. But the library is the solution. It does. I heard that in UK, you get some money when people lend you, get your book for the library. I don't think you do. But if you order from the library or if you request the book, that also helps a lot, right? And writing the reviews, you can support by writing the reviews, by doing all the social media exposure and trying to buy as much as I can. I know I have to build another shelf. My husband already built me some shelves. I need more, so to put all those books, but it's tough. I wish I could buy everybody's book. It's really tough, but that's all I can do. What about you, Gloria? What do you do with all those new books?
It's impossible to buy all the books you want to buy. But it seems like I'm doing it. I'm buying a whole bunch of books, but I can't keep doing it either. I mean, I'm buying books not just from my groups, you know, from Las Musas and, you know, more than just picture books, you know, buying YA middle grade and picture books. And then I have people in my critique groups and then other writer friends.
I know. Yeah. Your critique partners, you have. I don't have to buy their books. It's impossible not to.
Yeah. I mean, I'm buying their books. I've already bought some of them. Yeah, but it's just, the library is the answer. And I feel really, really bad we moved. And partly because of the pandemic, I think, or maybe I didn't pursue it. I haven't joined the library and the new place where I am. And because they said you had to go in, but it was a pandemic and I wasn't going and I don't think they were open even. So yeah, now they're open and I need to get.
I cannot live without the library. So many
yesterday,
books.
You know, and I haven't done it yet, but that's another way obviously to support. And my PB Troop 21 even has a chart. I mean, we have Slack, but we also have something called Airtable that I'm also not comfortable with.
I don't even know what that is.
Well, I mean, either. Yeah, but anyway, it is a place.
It's a new thing.
You know, if you ordered a book in your library or you bought it or whatever, you know, the indicator what you've done. And I'm zero across the board on, well, just because I haven't filled it out, I have bought some of the books, but I've pre-ordered some, but
yeah,
I haven't done nearly enough on all of that. But we can only do what we can afford to do. I mean, obviously. And when I moved, I had to get rid of so many books. So I just hate to get rid of books, but I had to. And so in Austin, we have something that's called Recycle Reads. And so the public library, you could take books there. And I did that. And but then again, I also buy books from there too sometimes. But the main thing is that now I've moved and I haven't joined the new library, so I've got to do that. And Ilda?
Yeah, I agree with both of you. You know, the library is the thing to do. I have so many books and I still buy a lot of books and I want to buy books, but I think it is helpful if you go to the library and they don't have one of your friend's books and you request it. I think that definitely helps your author friends. If the library then orders their book when they weren't originally planning to. So, you know, yeah, I feel like that's the only solution I've come up with is buy some, get some from the library and just, yeah, because I can't buy all of them. It would just be too many. I have so many books in this house and we just keep, you know, our dining room is just completely lined with bookshelves now because, you know, and it's funny when I look at pictures from when my kids were really little and we had one bookshelf and then, you know, they got a little older and then we had two and then a little older and they had three and now and it's just like
the
just,
house is
it just, it's just it's like the whole house it's just the house of books. And I never want to get rid of any either. That's the thing. And I reread them too, and I don't know, I really don't know. It's just I'm just kind of buried in a pile of books here. I don't know, Cynthia, do you
have need a bigger
ideas?
house? You need a bigger house for your books.
I don't think we have the solution. No, I think that's That's about it. Just visit your library and maybe bookstore sometimes, and then we're gonna have the books.
I have also thought, and I've done this, I will buy books and I think, okay, who can I give this to? You know, I have some great.
That's a good idea. We could maybe trade books with each other.
And then I give the picture books, my granddaughters have outgrown those pretty much, on their own. Although sometimes I send them some anyway that I think they can relate to this anyway, but.
Yeah,
out of that group. And I try to think, okay, so-and-so has a cousin's daughter, has a boy that this might work that age. And so I try to not keep them all.
Yeah,
but you just want to keep, because you want to reread them.
I know,
beautiful and so good.
Yes, I gave that some to my grandkids. But sometimes I regret saying, I wish I had that book here now, so I could, But I know they will enjoy reading a lot. And when I go there, they always get the books I gave them. Read to me. I had to read 100 times. So, hard decisions, which books to buy.
Exactly. And for birthdays, everybody gets a book.
Yes.
So I'm just going to tell everybody, if you'd like to learn more about Las Musas or our books, please visit our website at lasmusasbooks.com or find us on social media at Las Musas Books. And be sure to check out our bookshop page, where each purchase of one of our books goes towards supporting independent bookstores. If you enjoyed the episode, please like, review, and subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts. And you can also sign up for our newsletter to have podcast updates and other Musa news, such as release dates, teasers, spotlights, and more delivered straight to your inbox. Gracias a todos por escuchar. Thanks for listening. And see you next time.